Tune to 106.1 FM, WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. It's now time for this week's edition of Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I'm here as sort of a liaison between the folk community and those who might have interest in it. For those of you who are not folkies yet, this community includes not only musicians, but listeners, collectors, historians, and any other keepers and even adapters of the tradition. So don't think that you need to have dazzling fingers or soaring vocal talent to get involved. Heck, most of the musicians don't even have that. Of course, I'm kidding, but the one thing I am serious about is that I'd love more people to be aware of the community of local folk that I've grown to love. I do this through the music and stories of my guests, who are here to share with you a little bit about their musical selves. Before I introduce tonight's guests, I'll let you know the predicted weather for the next few days, read a message from our underwriters, and share with you a few announcements. On to the weather. It looks like it is 27 degrees Fahrenheit, and it is fair, as opposed to unfair. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 14, so it's getting chillier. Wind chill values as low as 0. North wind between 11 and 13 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 33. Wind chill values as low as minus 1. Northwest wind between 9 and 14 miles per hour. And Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 24. West wind around 7 miles per hour. Sounds like winter finally caught up with us, at least for a short period of time. I'm okay with that. I really didn't feel like I missed out, but I did feel a little bit like... Well, I felt like I missed something. Missing something and missing out on something are two totally different things. So, Here's some messages from our underwriters. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Music Hall, an American treasure for the arts. It's the Seacoast Performing Arts Center that entertains 100,000 patrons annually on Chestnut Street, Portsmouth. Schedule and other information at themusichall.org. And also from Daystar Computer Services, offering business class technology services designed to meet each client's needs. Information at daystarinc.com. Okay, a few announcements. First, a few of my own. I wanted to say thank you to Neil. I had a fellow named Neil. He's an Irish fellow who I met at the Barley Pub or the Barley House session last Tuesday. I've been talking about these sessions week in, week out, and I finally went to the Barley House session. And it was very different than the press room session, which made me really happy to see, because variety is the spice of life. And one of the really neat things that they do there is that they keep it as an Irish traditional music session. And not only that, I'm thanking Neil in particular, although I want to say thanks to Bob Dunleavy and others that were there. Sylvia Misko, who will be on my show next week as well. But Neil, because he gave me a sheet of paper that has a list of the etiquette of their session on there. And I thought it was really great because, well, quite frankly, it's slightly different. Although most of these things should be followed in any session. It is a little bit different than the session at the press room. And not having known that, to just walk in, you would think that you would just be able to do and say the same types of things, but it's just not the case. For example, their traditional Irish music session has no singing in it at all. And I guess that's the way Irish traditional music session goes. So anyways, thanks for that, Neil. And I hope that you'd come on the program with me one of these days, and we can talk about that, because I'd love to know more about the Irish traditional music, or ITM as it's called, session. I also just wanted to give a message to everyone who may be listening, who is a folky or who knows my band member and our friend and military guy, Mike Blair, who is now back from Qatar, and he was flying all kinds of missions over Afghanistan, and he was living in this, looked like some kind of corrugated building over there on some base somewhere, sitting in a dust storm, and it didn't look like much fun. And he was serving our country, and he's back, and he says hi to everyone, and that he's doing well, and that he will see you soon. And we're going to be up doing a gig on Friday, so we probably won't see you at the press room on Friday. But he says hello to everyone, and that he's happy to be home. So that's the end of my personal messages. I wanted to let you know what was going on in the community calendar. Portsmouth High School has launched a partnership with Portsmouth Community Radio to broadcast Clipper Athletics news every Friday morning during the 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Radio Gazette program with Ann Haggart. Folks will be able to follow all game scores, upcoming events, highlights, and outstanding Portsmouth High School performers. If you are unable to tune in to WSCA 106.1 FM for Radio Gazette, the archived show will be available online at portsmouthcommunityradio.org. by clicking on Listen Live. And I just wanted to let everybody know that there are several ways to listen to not only that program, but this program as well. If you don't get a chance to listen to it live, then you can always go to wseafm.org, and there is an archive. So you can go back, and it's set up by the time slot. So you just go to the time slot of the program that you missed, and you can download and listen to that archive. And the archive is there for several weeks. Also, you can listen live on wseafm.org/listen, and that will bring you to the Listen Live page. One other thing is that my radio program, Local Folk, which we are getting to right now, even after 2 weeks, is available on my website, stephencarrigan.com, stephencarrigan.com/local folk, or if you just go to the front page, there's a link that says radio, and it brings you to a whole archive. So there are many ways of listening to things here on Portsmouth Community Radio. One other community calendar event. The Stone Church in Newmarket will host the Local Food Network community event with an evening of networking, casual dining, and presentations by local food leaders. On April 2nd, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., they will share a vision for the more localized food system, highlight upcoming events, and let attendees know how to get involved. The Local Food Network is a group of committed collaborators of not-for-profit organizations formally networking to share resources to build a food system that provides local, clean, fair, healthy food for the seacoast. For more information about the event or the Local Food Network, contact is Jessica at food@seacoastlocal.org or at localfoodnetwork.org/LFN-community-event. All right. That is some very important stuff. Local, clean food. That's what we like to eat. Okay, well, now we will move on to local folk. And tonight's guest, he didn't grow up with the music per se, but he sure grew into it. He learned guitar, and it wasn't long before he wound up touring with musicians whose albums had inspired him to take up music in the first place. Over time, one band led to several bands, and one instrument led to a whole arsenal of musical implements. His name is Emery Hutchins. And from duets to dance bands, he does it all. I know him as a standard fixture at the Press Room Session on Friday nights, and I'm glad to have him on the show. Thanks for being here, Emery.
It's great to be here, Steve.
So, as you know, this program is not just for people that listen to folk all the time, but for people that don't necessarily know anything about it at all. And one thing that's really important to me is just to talk about how you got into it. I know that when we spoke earlier, I had asked you if you grew up with the music, and you said that you didn't. So tell me about that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I guess I should start by saying that I was born and raised in Rhode Island. And in the late 1950s, early 1960s, there was really quite a movement in folk music, and it got to be, believe it or not, it got to be really popular. It was like rock and roll music. And in Rhode Island, in Newport specifically, there was an organization, and it still exists today, the Newport Folk Festival.
Yes, I've heard of
it, that. It got my attention because I was there, and of course I went to the performances there. And one of the things I really enjoyed about it was it was a great opportunity to meet the players if you went to the workshops in the afternoon.
Oh, hold on just a moment. Did you say that you could go to the workshops in the afternoon? So was Bob Dylan running a workshop? Was this before Bob
Absolutely.
Dylan?
Absolutely, yeah.
So he's running a workshop, and you were able to go meet him.
Well, Bob Dylan actually got 8,000 or 10,000 people at his workshop.
Okay.
I was actually thinking about Doc and Merle Watson.
Oh, okay.
Who I got to sit down and talk to, and the fellow who got me interested in playing the banjo, his name was Buell Kazee.
Buell Kazee.
It was a wonderful clawhammer style banjo player, and he took the time and sat with me for an hour or so and just talked, and that's the kind of thing that I really enjoyed doing. And then, of course, we'd go to the night concerts as well.
So this is when you were living in Rhode Island. So for you, the Newport Folk Festival was your local folk.
Oh, sure was. Yeah. And it was big. I mean, there would be very large crowds. It'd be 10,000 or 15,000 people.
Okay, so
at least for the evening concerts, and just huge crowds.
Okay, because I always pictured it as huge. And then when you said when you mentioned workshops, I think of workshops as 10, 15 people. And all of a sudden I had this visual of, hey, sure, Doc Watson or any of them saying, all right, guys, here we go. And you're saying that some of them were.
Oh, yeah. They made you very welcome. They'd answer your questions. They'd sit and talk to you. They'd play licks on the guitar or on the banjo. And this is the way I do it. And they were very approachable. And so right away I got interested in it because it felt to me like kind of a welcoming thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get to sit around and jam with Bob Dylan.
Right, right.
But
That's
nonetheless,
okay.
enough people got me, were so friendly, got me interested in it. And then I, at about that time, my late teens, early 20s, I started playing the guitar.
Okay. So late teens, early 20s, you're playing the guitar. And were you interested in banjo at the time? You said that you were looking at some, listening.
Yeah, I was interested in it, but I never really got, I never really learned it until I got busy. It would have been in the 1970s with a band up in Portland, Maine, called the Brackett Street Band.
Okay.
And there were four of us, and I played the guitar, and we had a fiddler and a bass player and a banjo player whose name was Mike Silvestri. And Mike sat me down and said, "Emery, this is the way you do it, and you do it slowly." And it's exactly what I did. And I just sat and played the banjo very slowly, and finally, the style just appeared. And one of those magic moments in music where you suddenly say, "Whoa, I can do this!" You know, and it was really just a great thing. I remember it to this day, and I enjoy playing the banjo. It's great fun.
Part of what they say about music and its addictive quality is that it has several elements that your brain really, really likes. The first thing is a constant rhythm. Music likes, your brain likes a constant rhythm, something that it can predict, and it can become sort of addicted to something it can predict. And then also, there is the achievement that happens where you couldn't do something, you couldn't, and boom, all of a sudden you can. Your brain really loves that too.
Mm-hmm.
And the unpredictability of it. So, it's almost like sweet and salty or something like that.
It all seems to come in a rush for me. You work on it and work on it and work on it, and then all of a sudden it's there. And where did that come from? That's always the experience that I've had with learning tunes and songs. And sometimes it takes years to get these things down right.
Oh, man. Boy, does it ever. You're not kidding. Sometimes you can pick something up and you want to just put it down. Or maybe you do, and then a while later you pick it up again and surprise yourself.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a nice thing. Hey, here's something for you. I just want to touch on this for a moment if I can. If I'm doing it right. Ah, here we go. You know who these guys are?
Oh, Clancy Brothers, yeah. Yeah, I was acquainted with them.
You were acquainted with them. Now, you told me earlier these guys were an influence to you, and this is how you started to get interested in the music. Were these guys at the folk festival?
Absolutely, sure. Okay. They were there just about every year. And I never met them at the folk festival, but I sure met them later on. It was one of the great experiences of my musical life, was to be able to work with them.
So tell me about that. You heard these guys way back when, and you were at the someplace like the Newport Folk Festival, and then you weren't even really playing that much music back then, it sounds like.
Right.
And you didn't grow up with music, and then you picked up the guitar, and you started playing it. And next thing you know, you're playing with these guys. You're playing with the Clancys. Tell me, fill in the blanks for me. Tell me how something like that happens, because I would like to do that.
Well, in the late 1970s, three of us formed a band, called ourselves Northeast Winds. It was myself and my music partner to this day, Mac McHale, and Paula McHugh. And Mac had lots of connections in the music business. He had been a long-time player and booker, and he got to know a lot of people. And one of his friends was the general manager of the Hampton Beach Casino.
Okay.
And Mac had talked to him. He knew that Mac was playing Irish music, and he said, "Hey, the Clancy Brothers are coming in. Why don't you guys open for him?" And so, whoa, why not? So we did, and of course we got to meet him, and Mac, being Mac, took Tom Clancy and Patty Clancy aside and said, "I'd like to book you. I think I can book you all over the place. And I'd like to book you and use my band as an opening act." And they agreed to it. And the next thing I knew, I went from playing little tiny places, little coffee houses, to playing all sorts of big places in New York City, Washington, Philadelphia, Cleveland, jetting around on airplanes. And it happened, it seemed to me, it happened overnight. All of a sudden, bang.
Yeah.
And we were touring all over the place with these guys and having a great time.
And having a great time.
Absolutely.
Did it still feel like folk? I mean, or did it feel, some people find that folk is all about being close to the audience, but now you're on stage. Was there something like that? Tell me about that.
I think it felt exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it felt extremely frightening. And it was an incredible adrenaline rush.
I mean, was it like the big cheers and the, you know, and the huge...
Going from playing in front of 20 people to playing in front of 2,000 people really rocks your nervous system.
Yeah, it does.
But we did it, and we had a lot of fun doing it. And we...
You didn't have
it's
to
scary,
picture.
It's exciting, it's very nerve-wracking. And traveling is difficult. And at the time that I was doing that, I was really kind of in the same boat that you're in right now because I had little kids at home.
Yep, yep.
And being away from the little kids, being away from my wife that stuff, it was tough.
So in order to get over the nervousness, did you have to picture everyone in their underwear?
No. In order to get over the nervousness, you had to focus completely on the song that you were singing.
Focus completely on the song that you're singing.
And just absolutely, just try to take everything else out of the picture and focus right on the words.
That sounds awesome. See, I'm glad that you're on the show because now when I'm in front of all these people someday, I will know exactly what to do. So now I need to do, it sounds like the formula is make a friend who's a good booking agent.
That's one of the formulas. That does work.
I think that's what I would like to do. I do have a friend who's a booking agent, but he doesn't, he's not a singer himself. Now, you were influenced by them, and one of the great things about folk music is hearing songs, collecting songs, and then performing songs. And what I was just playing, I'm just going to play it again for another moment. This is the Clancys, the Clancy Brothers with Tommy Makem. And this is the Leaving of Liverpool. This is their version of it. Okay, that's what we're listening to right now. Okay, I guess you can't hear anything. But what I want to do is just... Emery's album, Northeast Wind, his old band Northeast Wind decided to cover this song, which I believe is a traditional, the song Leaving of Liverpool, this is a traditional song?
It is. Okay. Yeah, it's traditional. It was collected in New York City, I think. Not sure exactly when, but it was made popular by the Clancy Brothers and other people.
I just want to listen to this for a few minutes just to contrast the Clancy Brothers versus what it was that you were able to do with it. Here on Local Folk, we're going to listen to this for just a few minutes.
I'm bound for California, a place to know right well. So fare ye well, my own true love. When I return united, we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. Well, I shipped out on a Yankee clipper ship. Davy Crockett is her name. Captain Burgess, he is mighty tough, and the mate is just turn united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. 'Tis my second passage with old Burgess, and I think I know him well. If a man's a sailor, then he'll get by. If not, he's sure in hell. So fair united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. Oh, the sun is on the harbour light, and I wish that I could remain, for I know it'll be some long time before I see you again. So fare ye well, my own true love, when I return united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think.
You are listening to 106.1 Portsmouth Community Radio, and you're listening to Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm here with Emery Hutchins, and we just started off with a little Clancy Brothers Leaving of Liverpool, and then I went into Emery's Hutchins version from Northeast Winds, which was a band that he formed with Mac McHale and also, I'm sorry, who else?
Paula McHugh. And that last one also had Taylor Whiteside, my good friend Taylor Whiteside, on it.
Taylor Whiteside.
There was a time we were a trio, Mac and Paula and I, and then we were a quartet for a while, and then Paula left.
Yeah.
Left us for a husband.
I see.
Can you imagine that?
It's hard.
And then Mac and Taylor and I carried on for another 7 or 8 years.
Very good. Is that, and I would like to play just at least a bit, maybe the whole thing, of one more track that you have on here. You were on tour with the Clancys. You were opening up for them. And the way that you did this was by saying, hey, Clancys, I think we can book you. And here's the deal. We'll open for you. And they said, okay.
Yeah, that's the way it worked out.
Next thing you know, you're doing whirlwind events all over the place and having a great time and sharing songs.
Yeah.
And all sorts of things. Tell me about this next song that we're going to play, When the Boy. Is it a song or a tune, When the Boys Come Rolling Home?
Oh, no, it's a song, and the reason I said I'll play that one was because it was at a big theater in New York City that we recorded it. It was one of those serendipitous moments that we had. We had a show in front of a lot of people, and we were trying to put together a live album, and we just handed the sound guy a blank cassette and said, Just record us, would you?
Really?
And we came up with 4 or 5 right in a row that just sounded great, so we used them.
So this is, so you would say, although the name of this this CD is on tour, the subtitle of this track should be a serendipitous event.
Certainly.
Here we go. This is When the Boys Come Rolling Home.
How well I do remember the day I went away, sailing out of Belfast in the morning. My hopes were on tomorrow as I kissed the girls goodbye, but my thoughts were on the day of my return. They'll be dancing, romancing, and evermore to roll. They'll be rolling in the hay, there'll be whiskey in the tay, and the boys come roll.
Oh, try that again.
They'll be dancing, romancing, and evermore to roll. They'll be rolling in the hay,
there'll be
whiskey in the tay, when the boys come rolling home.
We safely reached the other side to New York City Fair, in spite of wind and rain and stormy weather. We all sat down and drank a glass and wished each other well, and said we'd all get back again together.
They'll be dancing, romancing, and evermore to roll. They'll be rolling in the hay,
there'll be
whiskey in the tay, when the boys come rolling home.
Now Mackie went to Boston and Pat to Buffalo, but Taylor Whiteside went to Chicago. I used to get some letters, but that was long ago, and they always spoke of Ireland in return.
They'll be dancing, romancing, in the tay when the boys come rolling home. I must be over 90 now, my grandson's at my bed. I'm here in New York town and still a scheming. He says he'll take me back again to rest my weary head, and I'll give him a legacy of dreaming.
They'll be dancing, romancing, never more to roam. They'll be rolling in the hay,
there'll be whiskey in the tank when the boys come rolling home.
They'll be dancing, romancing, never more to roam. They'll be rolling in the hay, when the boys come rolling home.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that was listening to that, that the model of reverb that they were using, what was the model number again? I'm not sure, 2,000.
That was something like that, yeah. It was a big room.
2,000 people in the room. That is not a reverb that they were using. That was the size of the room that they were performing in when they were playing with the Clancys. I think that this is probably a good time to talk about a couple of other things that are going on the Seacoast. We do have a musical calendar. Before we get back with our guest, Emery Hutchins, I want to let everybody know that direct from Ireland, Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones will be live at RERA on March 6th, 2012. The doors open at 5 p.m. The Great Oran Moore will take the stage at 6 p.m., followed by Derek at 8. Did they change their name from Oran Moore to The Great?
I don't know. I don't know.
That is what it says here.
Well,
maybe it's not a name change. Maybe it just their name precedes them. The Great Oran Moore will be playing with Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones, kind of like Northeast Winds used to play with the Clancys, see?
Same sort of idea.
Same sort of idea. Okay.
Suppose the Wolf Tones will take them on tour?
I don't know. This could be an opportunity. They
could
should
be.
Ask. They should ask if they can book the Wolf Tones. See?
That would be the key. Definitely would be the key.
We do not have to reinvent the wheel. We can just model after other people, which is what is nice sometimes. On another note, there will be altogether, I need to let everybody know about a benefit jam session that is going to be coming up, and it's for Ray Brunell. And they are sending out the call to all of you out there who may at one time or another have thought, gee, the band sounds great. Somebody sent me an email about this today, and I'm going to read it all the way through, I don't see the name of the band. But there's a fellow named Ray Brunell. Gee, the band sounds great. If you've heard the band that has Ray Brunell in it, the drummer Ray Brunell is having heart surgery at Mary Hitchcock in Hanover on March 6th. And Ray has been a big part of whatever it is that makes the Big Note unique. Okay, the name of the band is the Big Note. I'm sorry I did not clarify that before. And perhaps, we hope, at times great. And they're hosting a massive jam session at the Press Room in Portsmouth Wednesday, March 7th, 7 to 10, in order to raise money for Ray, who's having heart surgery. He has no insurance, like many of us, and he'll probably be out of work for a long time. The lineup for the event is unprecedented, even by Press Room standards, including jazz and R&B greats from all over New England, Bobby Keys, Gordon Beadle, Sharon Jones, Charlie Jennison, Marty Ballou, Matt Langley, all the current guys in the Big Note. And more players keep volunteering every day. Personally, I can't wait to see the tenor battle with Matt and Charlie and Gordon. Stand back. This is going to be a fabulous musical night and a wonderful opportunity for us all to be together and to help a fallen brother. So they're asking that you make donations at the door. And if you can't make it, you could send your donation payable to Ray Brunell, care of Ben Baldwin, 614 Haley Road, Kittery Point, Maine, 03905, Portsmouth, Wednesday, March 7th, 7 to 10, benefit concert for Ray Brunell, who's having heart surgery. Be there or be square. All righty. Now back to local folk. This is Steve Carrigan, your host, and I'm here with Emery Hutchins. And we were just listening to a recording of one of his former bands, Northeast Winds, on tour. And what instrument were you playing in that on that album?
That one, on that particular song, the guitar. But I did play the banjo, and that was it on that album.
Okay, so
just
the
guitar and banjo it was really before I got playing the concertina very much, and well before I started to play the baron.
So, tell me something. How many instruments do you play now?
Oh, probably 5 or 6.
Probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So, Mike, tell me about your thinking. You were playing the guitar, and then somebody handed you a banjo. Is that what came next?
No, I was playing the guitar, and I thought the band needed a banjo.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out, and I bought one, and I learned how to play it.
So did you say, hey, that's got strings. The guitar has strings. This should be no sweat.
Well, I don't know if it was quite like that. I had a little bit of practice on it beforehand, and the clawhammer-style banjo that I play seemed to fit what we were doing.
Okay.
I think that Irish music and American country music are extremely closely related, and the clawhammer style seems to fit Irish music very well, and it certainly is a lot easier to sing when you play clawhammer style banjo than it is to try to roll a three finger scrug style and sing at the same time. It's very difficult to do. I guess people do it, but I don't.
For those of you listeners that aren't aware of the differences in the styles, I would say that the clawhammer is almost an adapted strumming style. It's hard to say. I mean, it looks like you have your hand in a fist. I can't figure out how it works. I've seen people do it, but it basically looks like you have your hand, like your hand is holding a hammer. I guess that's why they call it clawhammer, or like a claw.
Exactly.
And you look like you're just moving it back and forth, but somehow something really cool is happening. I can't figure out exactly why. It's one of those magical ways to perform
from
a layman.
It really is. Yeah. It's a style that I've always loved. I just like the way it sounded. And it's always the style that I wanted to play. And it turns out that it's a style that was originated in Africa.
Really?
And came to this country with the slaves in the early 1800s. And the people that the slave masters visiting the slave quarters saw them playing their kind of crude instruments with this particular style. And they liked it. And it started this whole huge movement back in the 1800s of minstrel music, minstrel shows.
Okay.
And the style, at that point, they called it stroke style. And the claw hammer came as that... That style kind of migrated up into the southern Appalachian Mountains, and it made some adaptations, and it got to be known as clawhammer style, I would think, sometime after the turn of the last century.
Wow. So you seem to know a lot about you know a lot about the clawhammer style of banjo, but do you do that same type of research with all your instruments and with all your music?
I like to do. I don't consider myself a historian at all, but I do like to know where things come from.
Yeah,
I have some friends who truly are musical historians. I really like to. If I learn a song, I like to research it. I Google it. I go to Mudcat Cafe and see what they have to say about it. If it's coming from a CD, if there's any kind of writing by the artist that performed it, I like to read that and know what's going on. So I do like to know the background.
I want to play a little bit of something from another instrument that you play. Why don't we just have a listen? This is something that you picked up a little bit later. question everyone's asking that pops into my mind is, Emery, Irish or African?
Irish. Irish, sure.
Tell us about what was going on there.
It's just a Bahran solo. The Bahran, spelled B-O-D-H-R-A-N, is an Irish frame drum. And the one I was playing was made by Seamus O'Kane from County Down. It's a traditional drum with a goatskin head and a wooden rim. And it's played with one stick called a tipper or a beater. And you play both sides of the head, actually, because the one side you use the tipper, and the other side you you use your hand or your wrist. And you push it in or let it out, and you change the tone of the drum.
Now, in one of your albums that you have that I think we're going to be listening to soon, I believe there's a little bit of interest about information on the inside cover about the origins of the Bahran as well. Some people joke that its origins were as a cocktail serving platter, for example,
exactly.
Among other things.
Exactly.
Some people think maybe it should go back to that.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of people that think that. Not me. Not you.
No. All right, I need to say something now. I play this instrument as well.
You play it very well.
And I'm darn proud of it. Thank you very much. Yeah. And I also sing a song about the Feast of St. Stephen's, and I read in these liner notes about the Bahran and the association with that and the feast on St. Stephen's Day. Do you want to just talk about that?
Oh, that's the Wren Boys day. The Feast of St. Stephen is the day after Christmas. And in Ireland, there's a tradition of people going around and dressing in costume and going from door to door. And they would do a very cruel thing. They would kill a little bird called a wren, and they would go from door to door to collect money for the funeral of the wren. And, of course, it would turn into a great hooli and a great party, and often they would accompany themselves on nothing more than Bahran and a couple of traditional instruments. But the Bahran has been around for centuries, but it's really only been played the way that you and I play it since the 1960s.
Is that right?
It was kind of a rebirth in playing the instrument and a change in the way it was played. A fellow named Sean O'Riordan, who really is given a lot of credit for rescuing the Irish traditional music in Ireland.
Yeah, okay.
Was one of the people that resurrected the Bahran. So the album that you have in your hand, Away to the West, is an album that I did last year. It's my first attempt at doing one on my own. And the whole theory behind it was because I like to play the Bahran and I like to sing, mm-hmm. was to see if we can mix those two things together. So I did several songs with, some with just a Bahran accompaniment, and then some we added some instruments as well.
Well, I mean, I have some great tracks. Let me ask. I know Blackbirds and Thrushes, for example. Now, is that something that, let's give that a listen.
It's a traditional Irish song. I got it from Kate Chadwick. She has a wonderful rendition of it, and I just fell in love with it. And it's generally done by a woman, but I don't care. I liked it, so I did it.
Let's listen to this, Blackbirds and Thrushes. This is off Emery Hutchins' new album, Away to the West.
If all the young ladies were blackbirds and thrushes, if all the young ladies were blackbirds and thrushes, then all the young men would go beating the bushes. Right, father, dal diddle, dal diddle, dal day. If all the young ladies were ducks on the water, if all the young ladies were ducks on the water, then all the young men would go swimming in after. Right, father, dal diddle, dal diddle, dal day. If all the young ladies' rushes are growing, if all the young ladies' rushes are growing, then all the young men with their scythes will go bowing. Right, father, dal diddle, dal diddle, dal day.
If the ladies were all trout and salmon so lively, if the ladies were all trout and salmon so lively, oh devil, the man would go fishing on Friday. Right, father, doll, diddle, doll, diddle, doll, day. If all the young ladies were hares on the mountain, if all the young ladies were hares on the mountain, then all the young men were there, hounds would go hunting. Right, father, doll, diddle, doll, diddle, doll, day. Blackbirds and thrushes, if all the young ladies are blackbirds and thrushes, then all the young men will go beating the bushes. Right, father, doll, diddle, doll, diddle, doll, day. Right, father, doll, diddle, doll, diddle, doll, day.
You are listening to 106.1 Portsmouth Community Radio. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Do Hair Salon at 25 Government Street in Kittery, specializing in everything for hair, cuts, colors, do's, updo's, and urban styling. You can reach Do at 207-439-4009. You are listening to Local Folk, and I am your host, Stephen Carrigan, and I am with my guest, Emery Hutchins, who is a multi-instrumentalist. He's a drummer of the Irish drum, the Boron, which we have heard in the last two tracks. He just came out with a solo album. He's playing a lot of gigs with two different bands, and I just want to let you know about a couple of the dates coming up. The Old Favorite is a dance band that he is involved with. Tell me about the people that are in Old Favorite.
Well, that's Bert Feintuck, Bill Zecker, Sarah Hydorn, John Carew, and myself.
Excellent.
And we've been gathering for 3 or 4 years now, and playing dances around the area. It's contra dances.
Contra dances,
and,
great.
Yeah, and we also have been doing some concerts. We've played at the Elysium Arts several times, and up at a little place in Portland called Blue.
Blue. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, nice little place. Nice little place to play in. And having great fun with it. I always wanted to play in a dance band.
Did you mention Bert Feintuck?
Now, I did. Isn't
he... Now, you said that you're not a historian of the music, but isn't he...
Yes, he's
a historian.
He's a folklorist. He's the head of the humanities department at UNH, as a matter of fact.
The head of the humanities department at UNH, and he knows quite a bit about all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more than anyone, but
he's a real authority on Cape Breton music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's his specialty. But he knows lots of other types of music as well, and dance music. And we have an awful lot of fun playing together. So it's nice experience.
I don't want to impose, but you wouldn't mind putting a little bug in his ear and asking him if maybe he'd consider coming on and talking a little
bit
about that.
Sure.
That would be a really fun time to have him on. Well, it looks like you're going to be playing this month on the 24th in Ossipee, New Hampshire.
Yep. Old Favorite will be up in Ossipee, New Hampshire on the 24th, and then again on the 31st at the Down East Dance Festival at Mount Ararat Junior High in Topsom, Maine.
The Down East Dance Festival. And this will be for some contra dancing?
Yes. Yeah. It's a really a very large festival. Lots of dance bands, lots of dancers, a lot of fun. And we'll be there in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon.
What instrument do you play in this?
I play the concertina and the baron.
Oh, you play the baron for a contra dance?
Yeah.
Really? I haven't heard it. I mean, I've only been to like three contra dances, so I don't know, but I bet that's awesome.
It's not common.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. Might not be common, but it is cool. At the introduction to my program, I said not just keepers of the tradition, but adapters of the tradition and all kinds of things. And so maybe the baron and a contra dance is a bit of an adaptation, maybe?
I always like to push the envelope, so why not?
You're a rogue. A rogue. Hey, but you know what else we have? We have other gigs coming up as well. We have two old friends gigs coming up in, well, there's a bunch here in March, but they're not necessarily around here. And then we have one in Exeter, New Hampshire. The earliest is April 3rd. Exeter, New Hampshire, at the Exeter Historical Society. So is that the kind of gig that you like to play? It's something like a historical society?
Love it. Love it.
So
historical societies and libraries, we just love them. They're great fun to play, and the audiences are always interested. We get to talk a lot. We talk about the songs and the tunes. And just what we discovered playing these places four or five years ago, I guess. And we've really focused on it.
So I want to play one song, and then we're going to have to wrap it up, and then we'll play another song to leave. But I do want to play one song here from your two old friends' Safe Harbor CD. This was recorded down at Fish Tracks Studio by all the people at Fish Tracks. We have Rick Watson and Tom Daly.
Yeah, absolutely. And big thanks to Rick Watson for working so hard on the Away to the West album. He really made the whole thing happen. He's a wonderful engineer and a tremendous musician, and he did all sorts of things that made it sound really good.
That's right. He played the piano on the Blackbirds and Thrushes track.
He played the mandolin. He did backup vocals. It was a pleasure to work with him, and it's, I think, my third or fourth project with him, and I recommend Rick. And if you want to see him play live, you should go down to the Dolphin Striker.
I'd love to have him, but he does play live on Mondays, and that is when I have my show. Yeah. So it makes it a little bit tough. Now this let's listen to this track from the Two Old Friends CD. This one is called, it's number 4 here, Jordan is a Hard Road to Travel.
Right.
Is this a song or a tune?
This is a song, and I think this is where American country music and Irish music get pretty close, and got this from Uncle Dave Macon.
Nice. Let's listen to it.
Well, I'm going to sing you a brand new song. It's all the truth for certain. We can't get by if we live high and get on the other side of Jordan. Pull off your overcoat, roll up the sleeve. Jordan is a hard road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel, I believe. Well, I know a man, an evangelist. His tabernacle's always full. People come from miles around just to hear him shoot the bull. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel, I believe. Your evangelist, you can talk about Mr. Ford too. Henry shaking more hell out of folks than all the evangelists do. Pull off your overcoat, pull up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, pull up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel, I believe. Well, I don't know, but I believe I'm right. The autos ruin the country. Let's get back to the horse and buggy days and try to make some money. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hard road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hard road to travel, I believe. Well, the public schools and the highways are causing quite an alarm. Get a country boy just a little education and he ain't gonna work on the farm. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hard road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeve. Jordan is a hot road to travel, I believe. boats and it rained 40 days. It rained on the Allegheny Mountains. Rained 40 horses and a Dominica mule, and they landed on the other side of Jordan. The lonely rover goat run up Steve Jordan. He's a hard road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeves. Jordan is a hard road to travel, I believe. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeves. Jordan is a hard road to travel. Pull off your overcoat, roll up your sleeves. Jordan is a hard road to travel, I believe.
This is Steve Carrigan, and this program is Local Folk. I wanted to let you know that coming up is the program called Under the Radar, and they always have different themes. This theme is Sinatra. So Under the Radar is coming up next, and we have Sinatra as the theme. And I also want to let you know that if you have any questions or comments, you can please get in touch with me, Steve Carrigan, and my email address is scarrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at wscafm.org. So if you have any questions about, well, anything at all, about a Boron, about a guest that I've had, about a previous guest, about where to find information, I'd like to be extend my hand as a resource to anybody that is interested. Please let me know. S. Carrigan at wscafm.org here on Local Folk. And I am here once again with Emery Hutchins. And we were just listening to a song of his that to me sounded early American. He described as country.
Yeah, Uncle Dave Makin was a great character and one of the originals on the Grand Ole Opry, and that song came from his singing. He was a big star back in the 1920s and 1930s, right at the start of the Grand Ole Opry.
Very cool.
And before that, he was a mule skinner.
A mule skinner. Boy, I'd rather be a musician.
Yeah.
I can see why I got out of that line of work. Not that I've tried it. It just doesn't sound appealing personally to me. We're going to leave you today. We're going to let Under the Radar happen. I want to thank you very much, Emery, for coming on.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's been great fun.
No problem. And I also want to let everyone that's listening know that you can find out more information about Emery and his bands. Well, first of all, is it emeryhutchins.com?
Yes, emeryhutchins.com. There'd be information there, or twooldfriends.com.
Twooldfriends.com was the next one that I was about to mention. Two is not the letter two, it's T-W-O, twooldfriends.com.
Right.
That has the dates and everything of what he's got coming up live. And we're going to leave you today. I just want to let you know, next week it will be my guest will be Sylvia Misko, who is the president of the Strathspey and Reel Society of New Hampshire. That is all Scottish tunes. And I can't wait to have her on because she is a real authority and she will be able to clear up a lot of questions. She's the one that cleared up the question about the airs, and she's the one that's going to be able to tell me quite a bit. So we will have her on next week. Stay tuned. Thanks a lot, Emery Hutchins. We're going to be leaving with a track from your album, Emery Hutchins, Away to the West. And it's called Away to the West, and it is a song that you wrote. And why don't we listen to that? And thanks a lot. See you next week.
I ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum I ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. I ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum I ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. Away to the west on the coast of Ireland, away to the west along the great sea. Dancers move to the sound of the music, the beat of the drum sets the dancers free. Hi ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum, hi ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. Hi ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum, hi ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. Dancing in spirals, lines and circles, just as in nights long ago. The music swirls round the dancers' movement, the ancient drum beat part of their soul. Aye ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum, aye ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. Aye ticky ticky tum skiddly idle ticky tum, aye ticky ticky tum skiddly idle dee. There were flutes and pipes and whistles, the beat of the drum called the dancer's name.
moving with the sound and a rhythm in motion like Irish poetry, bright and clear. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee. There's magic in the beat and magic in the dancing, magic in the soil, eat the dancer's feet. Through moonlight, night till daylight, dawning the ancient rhythms in the Irish beat. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee. Aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, ticky, tum, aye, ticky, ticky, tum, skiddly, idle, dee.